There is a fear that Trump is on the verge of becoming Jimmy Carter. If he comes out of this war defeated, it will become his legacy. And desperation might lead him and the administration to say, we can't lose, therefore we're willing to ratchet this thing up and do something so extreme that the entire world has resisted this for decades and promised to never do this.
Pandora's box is about to become radioactive.
Yeah.
I don't think it will stop at one nuke. If Trump is foolish enough, this could unleash a rapidly escalating nuclear retaliation and then counter-retaliation.
The war with Iran is entering a new and potentially a much more dangerous phase. The clock has run out on the U.S.-Iran Memorandum of Understanding. There is still no deal tonight. The Strait of Hormuz is still largely shut down. And President Trump says no talks are taking place at all. And now Iran is drawing a new line in the sand. Tehran says the strait stays closed until Washington meets its demands, including lifting the blockade, releasing frozen Iranian assets, lifting oil sanctions, and ending U.S. military operations. And then comes the part that should get everyone's attention. Iran says if those demands are not met within 3 to 4 weeks, it will severely escalate. So let's just think about what's being said there for a moment. 5 months into a war that was supposed to bring a quick victory, and Iran is now issuing Washington an ultimatum. And as that's happening, it's happening the day after U.S. Special Envoy Jared Kushner met with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, trying to find a path toward broader regional peace. Kushner says the U.S. will not restrict Israel's right to defend itself. He himself discusses giving Hamas an ultimatum, that if they don't disarm, Israel can go in and, quote, finish the job. Expiring MOU and talk from both sides of the conflict that signify that we are no closer to reaching a peace deal than we really were on day one. And the results of this continue to be seen. Trump's approval rating has fallen to 33% in the latest Reuters Ipsos poll. This is the lowest, by the way, of his presidency. 80% of Americans, 80% say they expect U.S. involvement in the Iran conflict to continue for an extended period. So the question is, what happens next? Well, if you listen to members of the president's inner circle, the options may scare you.
First, the Iranian regime is not going to surrender. It is never going to surrender. You know, we've been in wars before where we fought enemies that wouldn't surrender either. Remember the kamikazes? Remember Japan? Remember the emperor was like a demigod to the people back then? Tojo was very stubborn, very headstrong. And unfortunately, we had to drop 2 atomic bombs until they would surrender. Obviously, we're not going to do that now. But I'm talking about an enemy that is dug in.
So what is he talking about? See, Mark Levin there floating the idea of using nuclear weapons, but also notice how he takes it back at the very end, all in an effort to escape culpability if that were to actually happen. But it's comments like these from people like Mark Levin that we need to pay attention to. Because, see, he represents the very inner circle who influenced the president to get into this conflict in the first place. And it's not just him. Former Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene is now claiming that the Trump administration is discussing lowering the nuclear threshold for possible use against Iran. And she didn't present it as a rumor. She says this, quote, they are discussing using nuclear weapons on Iran in strategy meetings. Yes, you read that correctly. It's real. I'm not speculating. I know, and it's pure evil. Trump promised no more foreign wars, but may actually be the one who delivers a nuclear holocaust that would likely drag the entire world into major conflict, economic depression, and mass human suffering like we've never seen in our lifetimes, and maybe throughout history. People need to speak out and boldly stop this insanity. A White House spokesperson, Davis Engel, said this, however, quote, Marjorie Quitter Greene has no idea what she's talking about. The former congresswoman disgracefully quit on her constituents during the middle of her term and wants to pretend like she has insight into the president's thinking. She is completely out of the loop and should quit spreading fake news. Now, to be clear, that claim from Green, it's not proof that President Trump has decided to use a nuclear weapon. And by the way, she didn't say that he decided. She said it's being talked about. But if a former member of Congress and a former Trump ally is saying that she knows the discussion is happening, that is something the public should want answers about. And it also proves that right now, it might not just be a conflict that's spiraling out of control. The political movement that Donald Trump built appears to be in a full-out civil war themselves. Marjorie Taylor Greene is challenging the administration over Iran. Alex Jones is accusing Tim Pool today of being a paid Israeli shill. Once a united front, the Conservative Party appears to be divided across the board. And we can't fail to mention, of course, Candace Owens and Andrew Wilson receiving millions of viewers for their debate last week over the death of Charlie Kirk, right? Conservatives are fighting each other on X every day. They're fighting each other on podcasts. They're fighting each other over Israel, over Iran, over war, over foreign policy. And now over whether the United States should even be talking about using nuclear weapons. This isn't just a political disagreement anymore. This is a full-blown civil war. And the only one paying for it is you. At the gas pump, in the cost of food, eventually through the defense budget. Listen to Secretary of War Pete Hegseth, who traveled to a state fair in Iowa to tell these Americans why their money should be going overseas.
President Trump needs the type of leaders who understand why a $1.5 trillion budget, a one-time generational investment, is what is necessary to ensure that my kids and your kids, that your grandkids and my grandkids live in a free country defended by the most powerful military in the world.
I don't know if you caught what he said there. He called the new defense budget a one-time, really, generational investment. Really. But here's the question. How many more generations of Americans are supposed to pay for this war? 5 months ago, we were told this would be quick. Tonight, Iran is threatening further escalation. Members of the president's own political movement are warning that nuclear weapons are being discussed. The very movement that promised to end foreign wars is tearing itself apart over one.
Well, Marjorie Taylor Greene, even though she's no longer an active congresswoman, she maintains contacts, clearly, and she also has a track record of telling the truth when it's unpopular with the White House. So I tend to think that she has a legitimate concern that she's voicing, and she has trustworthy sources that she is citing. Secondly, what makes rational sense is when Trump claims that he wants to make the Strait of Hormuz U.S. territory.
Yes.
And I don't know if that was a joke, but it sounds like something, it sounds similar to saying, you know, we're going to take Panama, we're going to take Greenland, whatever. How exactly would you accomplish that, given that the U.S. military is reportedly very short on other types of munitions necessary for kinetic warfare and air defense? It seems to me that the U.S. has a gap where they would have to, or the Pentagon would have to leap into nuclear weapons, because we don't have anything else in the mid-range that has been proven to be effective against Iran. No matter how many bombs we drop, Iran remains in control of the Strait of Hormuz, period.
So interesting that you brought up the statement by Trump saying, you know, the Strait of Hormuz is now U.S. territory. I'm going to make it U.S. territory. I wanted to bring that up to you because of the fact that it feels like it's hyperbolic, right? It's Trump being Trump. He says these outlandish things. He gets attention through it. He doesn't always just say stuff, because we've seen this happen again in the midst of this particular war, right? Trump will say, make some statement about how we're going to, you know, wipe them off the face of the earth. But then he does decapitate the entire leadership of Iran. Like, he wasn't lying that he was going to do something there. He did blow up a school with 170 young girls in it. He really did do that. He really did have that Operation Midnight Hammer a year ago where he flew over the top of Iran and they dropped bombs on Iran. So it's not that all of these things are just hyperbolic. And I think where a lot of people are questioning is that at this point, there is a fear that Trump is on the verge of becoming Jimmy Carter. If he comes out of this war defeated, it will become his legacy. No matter what else he does in the remainder of his term or in his previous terms, Trump's legacy will be he lost the war with Iran. And desperation might lead him and the administration to say, we can't lose, therefore we're willing to ratchet this thing up and do something that is so extreme that the entire world has resisted this for decades and promised to never do this.
Well, I would add to what you just said, I agree with it, but I would add that I think what Trump is going to be known for is the destruction of the credibility of the U.S. military to project power around the world, which is what underpins the demand that other countries trade in the U.S. dollar. So what's really at risk here is not just Trump's presidency or his legacy, which continues to go in a downward spiral, but rather the ability of the United States of America to exist under its current revenue model, which is basically printing fiat currency, exporting inflation around the world, trading debt for goods and services, and in some cases, energy from around the world. When that system breaks, then the U.S. empire as we know it cannot survive. That's what Trump's going to be known for, is actually destroying the very system that the U.S. empire currently depends on in order to maintain its viability. And that is, again, comes back to the credibility of the U.S. military to be able to threaten and coerce other countries. If Iran stood up to the entire U.S. military and succeeds in that, then how do you think that's going to be recalculated by China or Russia, for that matter, or even North Korea or other countries? And the answer is that Trump showed the world that the U.S. military is not as powerful as we pretended it was.
Right. And that's a very unfortunate thing to say. It's unfortunate to believe, because I think most of us, I know I did, I even think is Russia, China, are shocked by what's happened in the past 5 months. I think they are genuinely like, what? Like, we really believe that the U.S. was much more powerful than this. And the idea of the depletion of weapons, and listen, it's not just a failure of the U.S. military. It's a failure of NATO policy. It's a failure of shipping off massive amounts of our missiles and military equipment to Ukraine and watching it be expended, wasted, and destroyed. It's a matter of being involved in these wars for decades, where we just keep using up all that we have. We don't have stockpiles, but no one would have thought that until this moment. And it's as if it wasn't Iran that exposed us. It was the leadership that exposed us.
What you're speaking about, let me put an end cap on it this way. The transition in America from manufacturing and producing physical goods into a financialization economy created a cultural belief that we can create anything we want on paper by just saying it, or by just typing numbers into a computer and boom, there's another $1 trillion. That doesn't work with missiles and rare earth minerals and jet fuel and diesel, et cetera, right? It doesn't work in the real world of commodities and weapon systems. But yet we have a country, we have Wall Street, we have commodities investors, and we have a White House that believes that whatever they say becomes reality, like magical fairies and things. But that's not the way the real world actually works. At some point, we don't have the industrial base to even keep up with the war effort that Trump wants to continue to push. And that's why Marjorie Taylor Greene, again, I think she's correct in saying that the leap to nuclear weapons is really the next sort of logical leap of a mad king to say, we don't have anything in between.
Right.
We've run out of these other things. Now we have to use nukes, or that's it.
Well, the fact that they're referring to this as a nuclear tool, as opposed to using a nuclear weapon, right? Words mean something. And the idea here that you're going to downplay it, the rest of the world will not view it this way. Our allies and our opponents around the world will not view this as a nuclear tool. They will say the U.S. has taken the cap off, and you can't control the reaction that comes from that.
Yeah, Pandora's box is about to become radioactive with this. You know, I don't think it will stop at one nuke, no matter what the yield of the nuke. And by the way, a so-called tactical nuclear weapon today can often have a yield higher than the yield of the atomic bombs dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, right? Which were, what, 15 or 16 kilotons. Today's tactical nukes can be much larger than that. This is going to unleash, if Trump is foolish enough to give approval for this, and if anybody is foolish enough in the military to actually follow those orders without resigning, then this could unleash a rapidly escalating nuclear retaliation and then counter retaliation that could very quickly envelop the entire world in a Mad Max fallout scenario that would cause crop failures, radiation sickness, and literally lead to the deaths of billions of people over the next few years. Let's pray we don't get there.
As someone who voted for Trump, I truly believe we were going to see no new wars. Had no idea that we would be standing on the edge of the next world war this short into it. Mike Adams, it's great to have you on. Thank you so much.
If you'd like to help support us, check out all of the affiliate deals I put together for you at rangerdeals.com. And if you go there, you'll see I have selected, I've done due diligence on all of these affiliates. There's really not that many, but we have partners like Battalion Metals, co-founded by Tucker Carlson, Ness's Organic CBDA Hemp Extract, Above Phone Models that are de-googled phones, Red Life, here's the peptide company, Limitless, you know, Petmectin, and so much more, including the Satellite Phone Store, VP.net. And for almost all of these, you can use discount code RANGER here, or sometimes it's something else like Brighteon50, but normally the discount code is RANGER, which will save you something on these deals. Now, we do earn a little bit off of these affiliate deals, but it's no additional cost to you, and it helps support our platform and our work for humanity, including our AI projects that offer free open source knowledge in multiple languages. You can check those out at brightlearn.ai and brightanswers.ai. So thank you for supporting us. Check out rangerdeals.com anytime you want to save money on really high-end products and solutions that I personally endorse. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Thanks for watching.